This sermon was recorded at Christ Church Mission, a congregation that seeks to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom.
So last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, Jenny and I, with the help of the Kellenbergers, they go here, but they're not here this morning. They live across the street from us, and together we engage in an experiment, a pretty big experiment. Lee, our neighbor, is doing a ton of work to his yard, and he and Carly realized that there was a 20-foot maple tree that stood in the way of their plans. Now, most reasonable people, when they encounter a 20-foot tall maple tree that's in their way, will chop that tree down and dispose of it. But Lee Kellenberger is not most reasonable people. And he and my wife decided to hatch this plan to move that tree from their yard into our yard, where we did want the tree. And so I took, Carly actually took this video. So Lee also just happens to be the kind of guy that has like excavation equipment in his backyard. And so he dug out with like a backhoe around the perimeter of the tree. And then with this skid loader, like scooped up under the tree, lifted it up out of the ground. And we took it across the street to this hole that we had dug. 20-foot tree, you can just continue to watch this video as we tried to navigate it into its place. It's risky, right? Like, it's risky in the sense, I mean, it was mostly safe, I think, but it's that's actually not sanctioned by the manufacturer. I don't think standing in that spot, that part is not safe, but I was studying the tree. So it's risky because, like, realistically, a year from now, we could be chopping down a dead 20-foot tall maple tree in our front yard, right? But there is another possible future for that 20-foot tall maple tree, because next to that tree that you won't see in this video is probably a 75-foot tall pine tree that's been in our yard for, you know, like, I don't know how many decades old that tree is, but it's been there. And this tree may just take root. This 20-foot tall maple tree may actually just like literally take root and begin to grow and begin to flourish and begin to be a good partner for that 70-foot tall pine tree that we have next to it. And it may be that this little maple tree may become a place where, you know, birds come to nest and the neighborhood owls come to perch, you know? And maybe someday, heck, I don't know, maybe we hang a swing from a big, tall, thriving maple tree. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You could just leave that up, Lainey. Leave that there, yeah, for a minute. And we're hoping for that kind of life, for that tree. A flourishing. We don't want it just to survive the transplant. We want that tree to flourish in its new place. We're hoping for life, for new roots, for new potential. This Sunday is a little bit different than most Sundays. You know, every Sunday I stand up here and we like work through a passage of scripture together, and I try to unpack that text for us as a community, for us individually, and apply that text in meaningful ways for all of us. And I promise I will resume that work next week. But this week is a little bit different. We're going to talk this Sunday. We never do stuff like this, but we're going to talk about our vision as a church today. And when I thought about our vision, I was thinking about this tree. More on that in a second. So we're going to talk about our vision under four questions this morning. Who are we? Where have we been? Where are we going? And what does it mean for us right now? Okay, who are we, where have we been, where are we going, and what does it mean for us right now? So who are we? Well, we are Christ Church Mission. We are one church, two congregations. We have a partner, you know, congregation at 91st and all that planted us. And our church exists, our vision statement is that we exist to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom. Or put more succinctly and more simply and more invitationally, we want all people to come fully alive. Our vision is an invitation for all people to come fully alive. The fullness of life is what we are all about. We draw that idea from that gospel reading that I read just a second ago, Jesus speaking, saying, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, in its fullness, in abundance, that they may thrive. Jesus wants us, he wants to give us the fullness of life, to experience a fundamentally different quality, a higher quality of life. It's what each of us wants, a different quality of life. We want to be like that tree, not the tree that just survives, but the tree that thrives, the tree that becomes abundant. And we believe that Jesus Christ holds the keys to the fullness of life. He's the one that knows about the fullness of life. He is the one that can teach us about the fullness of life. But the Bible, in fact, doesn't talk about the fullness of life and Jesus' relationship to it as like the fullness of life is like a path that Jesus knows where to find the trailhead. It's not exactly like that, you know, because then we could kind of come to Jesus as a bit of a guide, you know, like Jesus, just show me the way, right? But that's not exactly how the Bible talks about it. The Bible says that Jesus is the fullness of life. He possesses it. And so we don't come to him like a guide. We come to him like a God. We come to him as Lord, knowing that he contains the fullness of life. We want that fullness of life. We all do. And it's something that I think every human being wants. Whether they realize it or not, whether they would admit it or not, they want it. They need it. Our vision for the fullness of life involves a kind of turning out to issue that invitation to those people, to the entire world. Not just because we have found something really special, the fullness of life, and then so we want other people to also experience that fullness of life. That is true. But that's not the only reason why we should turn out, why the fullness of life involves a turning out. If you want to experience the fullness of life, then you should turn out. Does that make sense? It's not just, you don't just turn out because it's turn outward to those people and issue that invitation because it's good for them. You turn out and issue that invitation because it's actually good for you. The fullness of life requires a life that is turned outward. We don't just turn outwards because we want other people to experience the fullness of life, and we do want them to. We turn outward because in doing so, we become more fully alive too. The times in my life when I have felt most fully alive are not times when I've just kind of been like working on myself, you know, like kind of inward focus, like I'm gonna try to like, you know, get myself in a good place. Those are not the times of my life that I would characterize as being the most fully alive. When I've been most fully alive, those seasons have been marked by me being turned outward, issuing that invitation to the fullness of life to all people, sharing Jesus's love with them, serving them, praying for them. The fullness of life involves, in fact, it requires a turning outward to share that invitation to others. That is who we are as Christ Church. That's what we're about. The fullness of life. Come fully alive. Each of us, every one of you that's here this morning, coming more fully alive in God's kingdom and inviting others to experience that same kind of life in him. That is why Christ Church mission exists, the fullness of life. So let's talk a little bit about where we've been. Today, as I mentioned, is our three-year anniversary. 3 years ago, yeah. 3 years ago was our very first public worship service in Sylvester Powell Community Center. Some of you were there. Let me hear you. Okay, cool. Some of you weren't. That's okay. Neither was I. I wasn't there either. Nick Comiskey, my good friend, planted this church alongside so many of you. And I watched from Overland Park with a full heart and a big smile on my face. I was actually thinking this week, there's this photo that hangs on the hallway at the church in Overland Park. This photo, Lainey, oh, you still got the tree up there. So this is like 3 years ago. This is the send-off event, the kind of, we prayed and blessed that launch team that was coming to plant Christ Church Mission. Some of you are there, some of you are in that photo. And this hangs in the hallway there. And if you look closely, oh, look, I see Jan Holtis, I see John. If you see up there, you see by the raised hand, that's half my face up there. Do you see that? Like, and I was thinking about that this week, that like, man, that at that prayer service, I was like praying for this church and like just blessing it. And little did I know that I would one day be its pastor, you know, and I'm thrilled about that. It is just, it's just perfect. So some of you have invested so much time and energy and money. All of us have, like in some sense, in this church, in planting this church. Why? So that we could start another worship service 5 miles down the road from 91st and all? No, definitely not. So that we might become more fully alive, and so that we might issue that invitation to the fullness of life to people right here in the city of Mission and beyond. But why church planting? Like, if we're about the fullness of life and kind of turning outward, then couldn't we, those of you that came from Overland Park, couldn't we have just tried harder at Overland Park? Like, couldn't we have just, like, tried more intentionally to be outward focused there? I suppose so. But you need to understand that, like, new churches reach new people, like, at a rate that far exceeds every other attempt to reach new people, okay? Like, that is not, I could recommend 10 books to you right now if you, like, wanted to read more about that. It is, like, a proven fact that if you want to reach new people with the fullness of life, that starting new churches is a key, a crucial strategy in doing so. New churches are just so much more successful at reaching new people with the fullness of life found in Jesus. That's something that Christ Church as a whole organization has believed for a long time. But this church, Christ Church Mission, is its first success story in doing so. And I'm really proud of all of you. Christ Church Mission is doing great as far as I can tell. I was thinking this week about some highlights of the last 3 years and talking to some of you that have been here that whole time, you know. Here are just a few of the real high points that people mentioned for our life over the last 3 years. We did this Generosity Feeds event. Some of you were there for that. It's this big community event where we packed food for people all over the city and all over the world. It was really crazy and really fun. Somebody talked about just like our average morning together, especially like the teams that do setup and stuff, and especially early on, you know, and I was there for some of those mornings, you know, back when we were at Sylvester Powell, like not really knowing what we were doing, trying to set up lights for the first time, you know, that those were highlights for us. Other people talked about our big services like Christmas and Easter and the kids' plays and Sundays or those special services especially where we're like pulling more chairs out from back behind the stage to accommodate the people that are here. Those are some of the big highlights for people. The move to this theater. I actually happened to be there for that. I was so when we moved from Sylvester Powell to here, I was there that Sunday, and I was a part of the train. We have these huge cases that all the gear is in, and we pushed it down Johnson Drive, like 4 blocks, to the theater here. And that is a highlight to me, moving from Sylvester Powell to here, not just because like we get to worship in a little bit cooler space than we were in before, although that is cool, and I love this theater. But it like symbolized something for us as a community, I think. It kind of was Christ Church Mission kind of coming out of the shadows. Like we moved from a little back room at Sylvester Powell onto Main Street, you know, and put it up on the marquee as a way to say like, we are here and we are about the fullness of life and will you come join us? We kind of went public in a new way at that point. So that was really, really special. Somebody talked about our ongoing partnership with our elementary school, Rushton. We have this great partnership. I was actually at a district event 2 weeks ago. So every school in the Shawnee Mission School District was represented there with the principal and faculty and the social worker and some community people. So it's this huge room, hundreds of people there from all the schools in Shawnee Mission. And they were talking especially about schools that are succeeding in developing healthy community partnerships. And they highlighted two schools that morning, and Rushton was one of those schools, largely because of our partnership with them. And so I was so proud, filled me with such joy. This summer, I'm just shooting off highlights here. Are you having a good time? Okay, all right, cool. Just this summer, we had a prayer and worship night in here. And then we had like ice cream down in the new studio space. And that was a highlight. I think maybe I listed that one because what I loved about that is that it was kind of in the evening. And as I walked down Johnson Drive back down to the studio, there were just people, just Christchurch people just spilled out on the sidewalk all down Johnson Drive, outside of the studio and the storefront and inside. And it just gave me this like great imagination for like our home here on Johnson Drive and in this community. It was really cool. Okay, so this is an odd one. Someone mentioned as a highlight the transition of leadership from Nick to me. Now, that not as a highlight in terms of like, Nick bad, Dean good, nothing like that. But as a highlight of like, man, that show what it revealed about Christchurch Mission, which is that we can survive the trauma of a leadership change, you know? Like the transplant of that maple tree, you know? Like you kind of wonder, like, is this gonna go okay? But that the tree was healthy and it survived that transition, and it didn't just survive, people, it is thriving. So I'm grateful for that. Okay, one last thing. Some of you probably don't know how this works, but Christchurch Mission initially was funded from a really big gift that someone at Christchurch Overland Park donated. And the year before we went public, Christchurch Mission was funded 100% from that gift. And then we kind of had like a sliding down scale over the next 3 years, weaning ourselves off of that big gift. So the first public year, we were living off of that. We were using 66% of our budget was from that gift. The second year, 33%. And this year, 2019, we drew $0 from that big fund. And Christ Church, as an entity, both congregations are supporting the full weight of all of our staff and ministry and outreach and stuff. It is a really, we have not just survived. We are thriving. We're strong. I could stand up here, of course, all day and share, like, especially as I look out at actual people and faces, like, I could share more, so much more, of course, stories about individual, like, impact that the Lord has done, but I'm not going to do that. So, it's been an awesome 3 years. That is where we've been. So where are we going? Well, you know what we need to do at some point? We need to do it again. We need to do it again. Now, not now. Not now. We're not ready. Some of you are like, oh, now? No, we're not ready yet. But someday we're going to do it again. That is in our future. I think the Lord has that for us, planting again someday. Some of you who were there, who are on the launch team, you may or may not remember, on the very first Sunday, the very first public worship service, exactly 3 years ago, the offering that day did not go to, like, you know, the lights on the stage or the backdrop or to fund some ministry that we were starting. The offering that day on your first Christchurch Mission's very first Sunday went as a special offering for the next church plant. It has been in our cards from the very beginning. Y'all put a stake in the ground and said, yeah, we're going to be about that moving forward. It's out there for us, but we are not ready yet. It's important for you to know, before we launched Christchurch Mission, we engaged in a long season of preparation. Like, you as a launch team, you know, those of you that were on that team, but even long before that, we had to engage as an organization in some really big preparation. That included paying off our debt, which was like a huge amount of money that was like kind of crippling cool ministries like this. It involved like kind of investing in some key building block ministries that we needed to be about. So there was a big season of prep leading up to the launch of this church 3 years ago. And the next season of our church is also going to be marked by a season of preparation. And that preparation is going to be characterized by one word or one key concept, and that's this: hospitality. Hospitality. If we want to be ready to plant again in the future, there is something that we need God to do in all of us. We need the Holy Spirit to make us into the most hospitable people that we can possibly be. That's how we're going to share the love of Christ. That's how we're going to help people to come fully alive. That's how we are going to grow as a church and how we're going to be ready someday to plant again when that time comes. Hospitality. It's hospitality that's going to help us to bring life to others. So why hospitality? Well, you're going to be hearing a lot about hospitality in the next several weeks, several months, and probably several years. but I want to say just a little bit, even now, I want to kind of tee it up now and talk a little bit about why I think hospitality is so important. I'm going to blow through four reasons really quickly. One, hospitality was an unmistakable characteristic of the early church. Unmistakable. The word hospitality is used over and over in Scripture, and the concept of hospitality is on almost every page. The word is used in places like this from 1 Peter 4. It was our reading today. This is a verse that we're definitely going to be returning to as a church. It says, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling." The early church was marked with hospitality. Here's another. This is a description from Acts chapter 2 of the earliest disciples, the earliest followers of Jesus. It says, "All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." That, in my view, is a picture, a beautiful picture of hospitality. The early church had a reputation for receiving, for hosting people, for making room in their lives for people who needed it. They reoriented their lives for one another, for the stranger, for the guest, for the sick. They were known for their hospitality. It was a mark of the early Christian life. We'll be talking more about that in the future. Secondly, another reason why I think hospitality is important is that it wasn't just true of the church in the first century, it has to be true for us now. Hospitality is required for our cultural moment. 50 years ago in America, honestly, the church really didn't need hospitality. Some of the church had it, but it really didn't need it. The mantra 50 years ago in America with churches was like, if you build it, they will come. You know, there was this like innate desire in most people, or obligation, you might say, that they felt like, well, we should be in a church. Like, we should be connected to a church. And so you simply, that's like basically what happened with Overland Park 60 years ago. It's like they built a church and they opened the doors and people came in. You didn't need hospitality. You should have it. Sometimes many of the churches did, but you didn't have to have it. That's not the world that we live in anymore, obviously. Without painting the picture of like a culture war, can we suffice it to say that just like most people out there aren't just looking for a church, right? They're not just like, I would go to church if I just knew where one was. You know, like most people out there aren't looking. So every single encounter that a person does have with the church ought to involve a high level of hospitality. people are coming in with such significant obstacles to the Lord and to faith. And one way to help them overcome those obstacles is to engage them with real, intense hospitality. Like a year ago, I was driving through Western Kansas and, down a small little road, and there was a small little country church there, and they had one of those signs out front where you put the letters on, you know. And the sign that particular weekend said, "This Sunday is Come Back to Church Sunday." And I thought, does that work? Like, is that all you have to do? I mean, just say, hey, this is, in case you were wondering, this is a good Sunday, come back in. Nobody, it doesn't work like that anymore, you know? It requires more than that. Reaching people with the fullness of life requires, in our modern world, real intense hospitality. A third reason why hospitality is so important. Another reason why this needs to be a part of our focus is because it's already pretty intrinsic to who we are as Christ Church and as Christ Church Mission. It's not something that like we picked from like way out in left field. Hospitality is kind of a part of our DNA. Some of you would say like, man, when I got here, my first experience with Christ Church Mission was like one that was deep with hospitality. You know, I heard one of those stories just last weekend at the Focus Retreat. Somebody talked about their first encounter here and said, man, they almost used the word, you know, like that. It was marked by such hospitality. However, it's my position that we have a lot of growth that we can still do in that area. And so we're going to play to our strengths. And we're going to build on those and become intensely hospitable as individuals and as a community. The fourth reason why hospitality is important is because hospitality touches everything. It touches everything. One of the reasons why we're going to focus on hospitality is because it touches everything that we do. If the Holy Spirit really starts to transform each of us into becoming the most hospitable people that we can possibly be, then that will impact every corner of our church life and beyond. It will change the way we greet people. It will affect the way that we do kids ministry. It will impact the band and the coffee team. It will impact the preaching. And not only that, if God really does that work in us, it will impact our homes and our families and our neighborhoods and the way that we are at work. God can change our lives and the lives of others through this idea of hospitality. Okay, there's four questions. This is the last question. What does it mean for us right now? What does it mean for us right now? Two things. We're going to start playing into that idea of hospitality as a church in two really significant ways. The first is this. Today, we start a fundraising campaign. So we're going to talk more about that after church. So I'll give the logistics later, but we'll kind of dismiss at the end of church, and then we'll get free food from the Werner's food truck, which I'm excited about. Come back in here, and we'll have a short kind of meeting to talk about that. Just to kick off the campaign, you're not going to get every question answered at that point, but we're going to start talking about it today. But let me say this. At the heart of that campaign is hospitality. I can assure you that. In fact, we've decided to define the spending of the money in three broad categories that are defined by hospitality. So like the three categories, just to tease the meeting later. Hospitable spaces, hospitable mission, like in the world, and hospitable ministry, like a hospitable church, our ministries here. So we are literally putting our money where our mouth is with this hospitality concept. So I'll talk about the logistics later, but I really encourage you to stick around after the service today and hear a little bit more about what we're planning on that front, okay? Second key way that this is going to start playing itself out among us as a community is this fall life group study that we're going to do. We're going to spend almost the rest of the year as the church studying the concept of hospitality. We're going to learn about it on Sundays when I'm up here, and we're going to engage in it in life groups, in smaller groups. We have this great small group study prepared on this topic, So let me be clear. That study is not about money, okay? It's a study about hospitality, about what it means and what it means for our church and what it means for our lives. So if this is your church, I encourage you to consider joining that study. There are a bunch of ways to do that. We have groups that meet right here on Wednesday nights in this theater, and we have groups that meet in homes. If you want to get connected to a life group, if this is your church, I encourage you to do so. I think this 8-week course starting at the end of September is going to really kind of be an important study for us as a church moving forward. I'll talk more about groups in a little bit. Okay, let me close. It's been an awesome 3 years for this church. I know I've only been here for 10 months of it, but I've watched it from afar for a while, and the last 10 months have been awesome for me and for us as a family. But we are not done as a church. You know, I just celebrated all these amazing things that God has done, and it can be tempting to feel like, we've done it, guys. Like, we've arrived, but we haven't gotten there. God has more for us. He wants us to come more fully alive, and he wants us to issue that invitation more fully to the community, to our friends, to our neighbors. He has more for us. So let's continue on that journey of bringing life to others together, all right?